as a voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart.
Father, the Lord God, Jehovah, and to the blessed Holy Ghost, we thank you for this opportunity. Amen. Giving honor to Pastor O, my producer. Amen. His lovely wife, Pastor Sheila. They owe me two now. Anyway, amen. The runner for Christ, saints and friends, word of faith, and great faith. Praise God. Amen. I'm running into people. And to my new friends that I've run across, I say, praise the Lord. Welcome to Training Day. Let me, because I've talked to several new people, I want to introduce you how I came to this conclusion of Training Day. Actually, it was from a teaching from a Chinese minister, and his name was Watchman Nee. And years ago, he developed his teaching. He was teaching, he didn't call it Training Day, but I noticed he mentioned that it was preparation. This life was preparation for the next life. And I began to look at some things because it filled in a gap, you know, the questions of life, you know, because, you know, we started looking at the fact that, okay, we're not paying to get to heaven. Jesus paid for that. Okay, God is not testing us. God is omniscient. There isn't anything that he don't know at any time in history. He's totally aware, and he's omnipresent. And that's That's astounding. So he's everywhere. He's in China, Asia, Russia, Greenland, Iceland, Antarctica, all at the same time. He can talk to 7 billion people at the same time and keep up with every angel he has and know the number of all the stars and know the hair, number of hairs that have, in my case, been on my head and is on my head, all at the same time. I mean, and we are born of him. Particularly, those of us in Christ were born again fully of him. But what is that? What does that entail? See, we look at things, and because we really, I think because the magnitude of what has really occurred is so astounding that we tend to overlook some of the basic things that really help us understand it. So one of the things that I was reading in the Bible, and I came across again Philippians 3:20 and 1 John 3:2, and it talked about, in Philippians I want to read 20 and 21, and it says, but our citizenship, look at how this sounds. The Apostle Paul is making declarations to the people on the Isle of Philippi, and he's teaching them about our nature. I mean, when you really look at this, because it's almost, we tend to think of this as cliché-ic, if there's a word, and if not, there's probably another word I've added to the vocabulary. You know, blame me or credit me, whatever you want to do. Okay, he said, but our citizenship is in heaven. In some of the Bibles, it says our conversation is in heaven, which on all aspects it is. You know, and it says, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And in 1 John, John the Apostle, the Beloved, and I think I got a touch of his anointing because my man tends to focus on love. 1 John 3:2 says, dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he, talking about Jesus, appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now that is yet. And see, because we haven't experienced all that, very few people have seen all that. We really don't focus on that and what that means. And it's tremendous. But anyway, what training day is man is a spirit. He has a mind, will, and emotion called a soul, and he lives inside of a body, and that body area and the soulish realm that he controls limits what he can do. Because if you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, you'll see that God took dirt and put his own spirit, intelligence in there. And it did not diminish being put inside that dirt. It did limit. It put a restraint on what that spirit could do inside. So that's why you had your body like it is. And right now, gravity affects that. Inertia affects that. Centrifugal force affects that. But when we get a glorified body, as it is called in other parts of the Bible, these things won't affect us. We'll have complete control. When Jesus left in Acts chapter 1, when he left the apostles at his final appearance then, and I have to say then because he made other appearances later and still making them today, he just floated on up in the air. Gravity had no control over him, no hold over him. You know, and then he went on into the heavenly dimension, which is everything there happens faster than 186,000 miles per second, faster than light. Okay. Now, that's tremendous power. When he visited the disciples in John chapter 20, I think 26, and a little bit earlier than that, he made two visitations, and both times he just appeared. Now, it seems, we think of it in terms of it, that was just something magical that he could do, but he just, this is what John and Paul were saying to the Philippians, that we're going to have those same capabilities. Now, those same capabilities, God is not going to allow a person who chooses not to discipline themselves after his manner of thinking to be loose in the universe with that type of power. Because God is going to expand the universe. The only thing out there in the universe right now beyond the earth is devils and angels and God. That's all. Ain't no people out there. If there would have been, there would have been in the Bible. There's some things in the Bible so astounding. I'm glad people don't read it because it would mess their little head up. Because if they can't handle it at this level, like people that read the book of Revelation, I'm so sure an angel with all eyeballs because he can see in every direction. I mean, think about that. If you came home and that thing was floating around in your living room, you know, talking about how you doing. And just imagine a basketball size of all eyeballs looking at you with some wings sticking out. You'd be tripping. You're like, okay, what did I eat? Well, if you was drinking something, like, I'm going to quit drinking. I mean, you look at the descriptions of the creatures in there in the book of Ezekiel, and I see scientists trying to justify and make logical what's going on. Because it doesn't add up to human standard. It's far beyond it. You read what's going on in the book of Revelation, it don't make sense. But that's the reality we do live in. There are angels. Angels are some tremendously powerful creatures. One angel killed 185,000 men in one night, and he didn't even break a sweat. And you, outside of your body, has more authority and power than an angel. And in this life, we demonstrate to God that we can go to the next level. Because at the next level, now, I'm always open to challenge, as long as you base it on the scripture. That's more than one scripture, two at least, that says different. I would advise before you do that you pray and ask God, because it ain't about a challenge. It shouldn't be about a mental challenge. It'll be about correction and getting things right. I've been wrong on some issues, and I've been corrected on some issues, but have never been done without the word. Every time I've been wrong and every time I've been corrected, it was done with the word. So with that in mind, you know, this is what we're talking about. Now we're on a series, and for those that are new, there's other videos I have on a website which will be advertised later on in this. We're talking about the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit. Now we want to go there and read that portion of Scripture. That's in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. You know, praise the Lord. Amen. Anyway, in Galatians chapter 5, 23-24, you know, it's if it's not in the Bible, if it's in the Bible, I want to know why. Because it's not just enough that Paul said the fruit of the Spirit is this. Why did he say that? Because it's not that that's the only time that that's been said in the Bible. So if he's identifying it, but it does show a continuity of the thought. But let's read this particular portion of Scripture. Anyway, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That right there is most statements that really need to be broke down and explained. But that's what I'm here for, you know. That's what it's here for. That's what I'm here for. Okay, so we've covered all the other fruit of the Spirit and what isn't the fruit of the Spirit, because I'm imagining today that I'm going to conclude this particular area. Today we're talking about the last one. Last week we talked about meekness, and now we're talking about temperance or self-control, which speaks something right there. You know, I remember because I've learned that a lot of people don't read the Bible, because if you read it, God will break it down to you, and he will put teachers in your face to analyze it for you or certify what you're talking about. I recently ran across another minister of God that was teaching on man and his superpower. And see, a lot of people don't realize how powerful we are. Prayer is an area that God utilizes, prayer. Prayer is, one, God trusting you with his power, okay? I mean, that speaks a lot. That says a lot, because it can be abused, misused, in the wrong hands. Because when you pray, angels have to respond. You're commanding the armies of God when you're praying, particularly when you're praying for situations that are, I mean, you know, are massive. When you're praying for the persecuted saints in China and India, you're commanding angels to go over there and assist in their protection and in their education in the things of God till they get to the place where they are able to do it themselves. See, this is a tremendous work down here, and it requires all of us to participate in some form or fashion to get it done. Ain't no one man, two man, three man can do this. But they say ain't no big eyes and little U's. This is a unified effort here, and that's what God expects in this situation. Now, we're talking about, we're going to focus on temperance, and particularly in light of the fact of changes in the law. And we've always had alcohol, okay, and we know the negative side effects of alcohol. And, you know, I have to say this because I just like putting it out there, because the thing to me is to tell it all and just tell it right, okay. There are very few actual prohibitions against drinking alcohol in the Bible. There's clear warnings in there that you lose your self-control and you can do some serious damage in all parts of your life, okay, without question. You can physically injure yourself. You can mentally injure yourself. And excessive use, as Paul called it, we know what that will do. People have cirrhosis of the liver. Now, and the thing is that each individual have to recognize their own weaknesses. Now, when I was young, when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, well, actually, when I was in my teens, my friends were drinking alcohol, and I did not like this oily feeling of alcohol. So, but once I was entertained with drugs and narcotics, because it didn't give me that same side effect, it became almost natural to me. But let me tell you the side effects of that. My school grades declined, with the exception of math. I don't know why me and numbers get along so well, but everything else became a struggle. Getting through school, and I knew, see, you have to complete an education. I knew if I got out of high school, I left it for higher level. So I had, we as young people would encourage each other, just make the high school journey, and then we'll figure out the rest later, you know. Because it's a different story when you're a black man. I'm telling you, especially during the 60s and the 70s, it was different. Okay, but it weakens you. Okay, and it distracts you because it leads you back into the pacification era that you went through as a child. Think about that, okay? You just wanted something because when you look at life and what it throws at you, and life has thrown a lot at people. You know, I mean, we've all had things. Think about what it was like. See, right now, some people are getting—you're only getting a glimpse of the racism that people in the South and in the North had to deal with in American history. We couldn't sue. We couldn't fight. So that would lead to depression because you now find yourself limited, supposedly, to a degree, because a person didn't like you because of something you had nothing to do with, which was the color of your skin. Okay, so that was pressing and depressing, you know? It's amazing. I was reading about one of the, I'm trying to think, the early black military plane flyers. I can't think his name after knowing him so long. But anyway, when they... in the war, they didn't want black people flying planes. They didn't think they said they would have been lied to and said we weren't as intelligent. So they would do everything they could to deny us these opportunities. I think his name was General O. Davis, but don't quote me on that. You had to check it out. The point of the matter is, it took a lot to get past that. And with some of us, we just regressed and just say, okay, we'll sit back because. I know myself, if you push on me enough, I'm going to fight back. It didn't matter. If you touch to me, I live with a standard. If you touch me, I'm going to kill you. If you live, it's only by the grace of God. I'm going to be honest. That takes some self-control. So when you throw alcohol or drugs into that mix, that restraint is gone. That's what a lot of times I did 31 years in law enforcement, and I can tell you very few people wind up in jail for assault with intent to do great bodily harm, murder, that there wasn't alcohol or drugs involved because it reduces your ability to be temperate. See, there's a method to this madness. Now, reason, and again, it's for a reason. And that is because you don't really recognize your strength. People come up with strength in a situation that they never knew they had. There have been supernatural events that's been recorded of like 100-pound women throwing around 300-pound men, and you get them angry enough, and all kind of things can happen. But the one thing that if your mind and your spirit is intact and in control, you are not likely to get into trouble. I mean, we see this situation all the time. Look at all the people people like, I can say it because it's a national event, Bill Cosby. Now, whether or not it's true or not, I don't know. But and then I don't keep these people's names in my mind because I could have wrote them down, but I didn't know which way Holy Spirit was going. But think about the people that are in jail recently all over, like, sex trafficking. That's lack of self-control. Look at that. Bernie Madoff just recently passed away. You know, lack of self-control. Almost all the people locked up in prison, lack of self-control. See, the Bible in the book of Proverbs says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Think about that. See, pride is self-centered, okay? It will lead. Look what it has done to people of renown, because the media report on them a lot. Look at all the people that have lost positions and now live lives, you know, less because they did not monitor their pride. One is they didn't know the word of God. Two, they didn't want God. But see, God understands us by creation. This is why this is in the Bible. The Bible is God presenting a psychoanalyzation of mankind. And failure to read that, you will get a misinterpretation of mankind. There's no question about it. You will get a misinterpretation. All right. Now, so what we're talking about is self-control. See, and this, if you go back and look at the list in the fruit of the Spirit, it is the means by which we learn to gain self-control. Some of us in areas are good, better at this than others. And the areas that we're not good at it in are the areas that we focus on. Because, again, you have to think in a different mind frame. You have to think a billion years down the road. I know that don't make any sense. But you also have to think of yourself with all the same abilities that Jesus had. But you got to be in submission to God under two commandments. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, with all your being, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, the love is agape love, which I explain in the series on the portion on the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And it is not an emotional type love. Eros is an emotional type love between a man and a woman. Phileo is a personal love between two people. See, Storge is love for the family. S-T-O-R-G-I, pronounced Storge. See, the English language, unlike the Greek language, doesn't get into all those details. We see the word love and we assume it's applied the same in every situation, but it isn't. Almost 90% of the time in the Bible, and I would say 98% of the time in the Bible, when you see the word love, it's talking about agape-type love or the God kind of love. And that's described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. That's what holds relationship together. It isn't how people feel about each other, because people get on people's nerves, especially when you've been around each other for a long time. All right. But it is a foundation. See, they work together. This is an area where all things work together for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Okay? The purpose is allowing God to develop you to be what? To rule with him. He's made us kings and priests. See, now, at present, known, this is the way the situation is going to happen. The rapture is going to come. We're going to be made into that completed person. People that have already died in Christ have been made into that completed person, okay? The person that isn't affected by gravity and isn't affected by the forces of the earth. And they have complete movement, all right? Now, during the trip, there will be the tribulation period, which begins at the rapture, lasts for 7 years. The people that survive that, and there will be survivors, will not have been changed. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, around verse 48 to 50, that we will have been made incorruptible. Which, you know, I mean, you really, you'd have to be dumber than Satan and to allow yourself to go through this life, get to that level, and then decide something as dumb as, well, I think I don't have to. God can't do nothing to me now. You know, I'd have made it. Yeah, you're dealing with a person whose power has no limit. Even at that level, you can still be dealt with. You can be vaporized in a thought, okay? But the likelihood, the Bible says, will be made incorruptible. So you got two species. You got humans that survive the tribulation period. They give birth to children during the one. Now you have an exact period, 1,000 years. Exact period. That's another reason I call it training day. Okay. Otherwise, we wouldn't need that 1,000 year. But you're at the 1,000 year, during the 1,000 year period, you got the two classes of people. Okay? So now, they are humans, and we would have to deal with them on the same level that Jesus deals with us. We have to deal with their idiosyncrasies. And who knows what other issues. You know what kind of issues humans have. That won't change for them. See? they will still have. And at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be let loose. Remember, he's locked down during that whole 1,000 years. So he's not there to corrupt them, to tempt them, to try them, to get on their nerve like he does us. Okay? Now, I mean, let's look at the detail. This is what the Bible says. I'm going by what the Bible says. I don't, people's imagination is just all good, but this is what the Bible says. I know, listen, having eternal life is stupendous in and of itself. I mean, that's just incredible. All right, so you got this power, but now you got to deal with these people that don't have it. And you got to deal with all the effort. You know, people get jealous of God. They listen to the, I've heard some crazy stuff said about God that just, you know, showed me that his mercy is endure forever. It is, you know, see, that's the whole point. Will you vaporize a person that get on your nerves simply because you have the power? I don't want to deal with it. You got to get rid of that attitude. You have to get rid of that attitude, or you have to work on that attitude. And let me tell you about dealing with attitudes. Let me tell you what I've learned in these 45 years as a Christian. You know, I was taught not to ask to go to a higher level. Just cross or get beyond the one you're on. And guess what's waiting for you? A higher level. That thing works itself out. You know, when people, as I heard a woman of God say, that's when you get them what is called a stack attack. The tires go flat, your bank account get hijacked, your keys nothing up, everything going all at the same time. And then you got to reach in and grab control of your spirit, pull up the word to pray over each situation to bring control and to fight the demonic attack that is coming against you. Remember, that's the other thing people have to pay attention to. God let the devil exist. He didn't do that by accident. Satan is not tricking God. He ain't outsmarted God. He ain't outflicked God. He exists, okay, with a purpose. So you can find out how great a power you have, because you have, every Christian has authority over Satan. You just have to learn how to use it. I was blessed. I'm tremendously blessed. Now, there are a lot of men of God nowadays that, and women, men and women of God, that have come to understand. Not only do we have more power than Satan, how to use it. Your words. Your words are so powerful. But you got to keep your word life in order, just like your love life. Everything has to be in order, and that's the challenge. There, you know, I've said earlier, I remember I've heard people over years say, you know, I asked God to take this from me. God ain't taking nothing. There is no greater power than the Holy Spirit. I know you can't lift a car in a building right now, but you have that type of power. You have that creative ability that God had when he spoke and created the heavens and the earth. You have that in you. You have God's spirit. And when you have God's anointing, that's Christ, you got it in. You got it at a higher level. But you have to learn to use it. You have to illustrate the discipline to use it. And that's challenging. That is challenging, but that's what it's designed, because you're not going to be doing this part-time and retire in 30 years. You're talking about eternity. Of course, your body and your flesh and your mind won't get tired like it do now, okay? That will be another distinctive difference. But still, look at what has happened. You know, in Revelation chapter 12, you have where Satan got kicked out of heaven. Why wasn't he happy in an environment where he never experienced pain? He didn't wake up one day, have a headache. He never been hungry, sleepy, tired, unemployed. He never had to deal with a whole bunch of people with attitudes until he developed one. There was no attitudes till he got one. You know, he tricked his own self out of being in the kingdom of God. And this is what happened with people. So he comes down here because he tricked people out of being members of the kingdom of God. You know, it's tremendous, but everything you need to know is written in the Bible. And this time in history, we have no complaints. We have no justification. You know, I was sitting under a woman of God a couple of weeks ago, and I'm listening you know, and I'm almost twice her age, but she's, her wisdom is twice mine. You know, it's that's Holy Ghost. See, this is the point. Satan has an IQ about 2,500. The smartest person on the earth now recently that I heard is 246. But there's no limit on the Holy Spirit, so you have to link on to him. It's kind of like when I added a piece onto my computer to make it bigger, to make it be able to do more. See, God, that's what he does. He added something to make us able to do more, but he will only let it go as far as we show discipline. You know, I was reluctant. I am doing research from the Bible on teaching on the prayer of imprecation, I-M-P-R-E-C-A-T-I-O-N, because it is a time frame for that now. But it is kind of like handling a weapon, because that is actually offensive prayer. That's not defensive. That's different. That is when Elijah held back the rain. That is when Elisha blinded a whole army. That's when Paul caused the man to go blind. That's the same as, just like we won't allow any and everybody that we can control that's, to walk around with weapons, same thing there. And with that, definitely, if you're not into the practice, if you don't believe or agree with the seven principles that I laid out that was given to me about prayer failure, it won't work anyway. So it's a key that would be missing. You know, so it won't work. You know, and it definitely won't work if you don't have the five elements of faith, which is hear the word, receive the word, believe the word, speak the word, and act on the word. And the reason I can say that like that is our pastor drill it. He's a drill commander. But the point is, it's fruitless for God to do all this without a practicality, if that makes sense. Okay, God doesn't do this for nothing. He could have just as easily made this heaven on earth from day one, but he didn't, because man is a spirit, God-class being. It's amazing that there's drama around saying God is a God, man, because now you have cult groups. That's what happened. See, that is. When situations get out of control in that area, that is simply by a person not making time for God on a daily basis. You got to make time on a day, because when you make time on a daily basis, if you need a correction in that day, God is going to bring it to your attention. You'll feel it. It's almost like a wall. It's almost like you know you're talking to the wall. You can tell the difference between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. The Bible, this is not a cliche. It said, boldly come before the throne. That is the place of power. It is a real place. It is a real level of authority. And when you get there, if you're not right, when you get there, they will let you know. Listen, you said this to your wife, and this is what you need to do. And you might think it ain't that big, but it hurt her feelings, and that's God's daughter. Or that hurt his feelings, and that's God's son. And he is like, you know, when you go fix that, then you come back and talk to me. Now, mind you, he's saying this to a person that he has given authority to pray over nations. Okay? The government is we held the seat of power. The government just managed. We have to fight the real war, the spiritual war. The reason World War III hasn't happened yet is because of the prayers of the righteous. Y'all have been hearing about that guy over in Russia who wanted to start World War III. The reason he can't get it done is because of the prayers of the righteous. But I can tell you, World War III is in Ezekiel 38 and 39, who's in it and who win it. So if you want to know, it's going to happen. The one thing about the Bible, and this is for my new friends, it's the only book on the planet that speaks of the future, such as talking about Christ's birth, thousands of years before it happened in detail. In Isaiah, he gives all the detail, when he was going to be born, how he was going to be born, and how he was going to die. So if it said it's going to be, and Christ showing up came, and I know he came. So if it said that, when it mentioned World War III and Armageddon, that's two different types of wars. Armageddon, let me make it easy for you. In Armageddon, Jesus Christ physically himself with us comes back to take over the earth and kill everything, everybody evil in sight. Instantly. You talking about brutal? Man, listen, God ain't no joke. That ain't no joke. He said that the blood is going to run so high that it will reach a horse's bridle. Now, you, if you seen a horse, just imagine blood. You seen a flood, imagine blood running that high. He ain't going to be playing because he, you know what they say. He ain't gonna, he going to come back as the lion. He was the lamb last time, but he coming back as the lion. And we have been in Revelation chapter 20 and 1. It says we're going to rule with him. But we're only going to do it under his guidance. We're going to do it according to his will, which is his word. And it's something. Don't get discouraged if you slip out from under, because actually get encouraged. Because when you find yourself trying to do right and you end up doing something else, that's because there's an invisible demon, not non-existent, but invisible demon, or more than one, pushing you, pressing you. See, you know, the Lord just brought something to my mind and about this challenge. And because I'm going to read from the NIV because it might, you definitely need to put this in there. This scripture in Rome, I'm going to Romans chapter 7 around verse 15. That's one of the benefits of reading the whole Bible. You know, Bo, I've only been under two pastors. My first pastor passed away, wore himself out. That's why I'm so grateful that my pastor now will take a break. There's a job. You know, look, think about this. You ever wonder why when you go to church, you come home tired? There's a warfare going on spiritually that you're not even, you know, you don't really engage. You engage, but you don't know about it. It's something. It's a different battle, man. That's why folks struggle to have with church. Okay. Now, this is Paul. You got to get this. Now, Paul, now we're talking about self-control, temperance, okay? Now, Paul was a highly educated man on all levels, both secular and spiritual, during that day. I mean, he was at the doctorate level on the spiritual level. And no doubt, he was a businessman, person of strong intent, okay? Now, he's finding that the struggle with being human is the challenge. Because I would see this, and I remember during the crack era. Now, even though I experimented with some drugs back in the 70s, there's certain drugs I never touched. Heroin was one. When I saw what it did to a heroin addict once, that dude didn't even get the needle out of his arm before he was out. Okay? And he talked about how good that felt. I didn't like the way it looked. I don't care how good it felt. Okay? Somebody felt better than a woman. I don't know what kind of woman he was with. But anyway. So, there's certain things, certain temptations. When crack came out, that was a temptation I was never tempted with. But I would see these highly intelligent, I saw lawyers, doctors, surgeons, you know, people of high caliber of comprehension in jail because they tried to ride that crack course and got thrown off on their head. Everybody rode that horse, got thrown on their head. I wasn't about to touch. That drug I've seen made prostitutes out of men. I'm talking about straight men that became prostitutes out of desperation to have that drug. See? So it's a challenging. But this is the point that I'm trying to make here is Paul was a highly intellectual individual, but he found himself in a battle. Okay? He said, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. Now, mind you, Christianity is in its infancy. So you don't have, well, y'all didn't get the experience what we experienced in the 70s. It was a short period when if you turned on the radio, you got gospel all day long. So you could get the word all day long. And now it's totally different. On Sunday, it didn't matter. There was only two radio stations that didn't play gospel. And that was CKLW, which was Canada, which means the devil was on their case early. And WJZZ, which was jazz, and you relax and listen to that. I still today read the Bible and listen to jazz. So anyway, he says, sold as a slave to sin, because I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, which is the will of God, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Now, let me tell you a little bit. If you study the scripture, you find Paul kind of had an anger management issue. You know, he was getting the arguments of folks. Because he's like, this is typical what I call A-type person. If you got to work around an A-type person, just be patient. Pray for them. Because they just like getting it done. They don't like excuses. I used to work for one. And it didn't bother me because I understood him. You know, I didn't argue with him. I debated that. They don't always say things in a manner that is pleasant or you know, they would sometimes say stuff to you like you wrong. And I mean, just almost like talk down to you. I think of it as a person with two brains trying to handle it. You know, they're born like that. They're born. God had to give birth to leaders. He had to give birth to followers. Because leaders are useless without somebody to follow them. Okay, but anyway, listen to this language. But I'm going to tell you, to free you, if you read, you got to read it more than once. This is the thing about the Bible. You got to read it more than once. I was told read it 7 times. It says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. If I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me, in your flesh, okay? I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. For I have desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil that I do not want to do, I keep on doing. Now, if I do that I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in the law, delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature of a slave to the law of sin, and I need a new mouse. And this is the blessing. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, let's go over there, because I can almost remember the day I read that and the joy that I felt that a man of this caliber was struggling with human issues, because I you know, when I got saved, I was disappointed that in 3 weeks I wasn't perfect, even though I had never seen a perfect person. And I knew my mother went to church and she wasn't perfect. Well, didn't look. I didn't know if she was or wasn't, because I didn't see a whole lot doing a whole lot of wrong stuff. But still, I knew she wasn't. Okay, so you wonder. It's like, okay, I'm not perfect, and then you wonder, like, okay, I'm saved. See, and with me, it was something spectacular. God took away drugs, cigarette smoking, because it's legal, was the hardest challenge for most people. Okay, even though you know it's killing you, and even though the Bible warns you about doing something you know is killing you, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 3, if you want to go read that. And the reason I don't give you detailed numbers is because you need to read the whole chapter so you can get a clear picture of it. And pray, never read the Bible without taking a few minutes to ask God to bless you with the revelation. I don't care what your status is, always do that. Take a few seconds, and he will do that. Okay, you always want him included because you want his revelation. All right. So the point of the matter is, you wonder, it's like, what sense this make? You know, I mean, we still human. We still do the same dumb thing. We seem like we go forward and we come back, and it's like this one issue I'm always dealing with. You're learning to manage. What I start noticing is the time gap between stupids. That's the difference. Because that's when you know you're developing. There's a time gap from being angry every day to being angry once a week or once a month. It's a time gap. And I'm going to talk about an issue because I had to deal with this one myself. Because it's something like eating. Because it's legal. Okay? We you know, that, go back and read them scriptures concerning evil. We know we don't want to eat the whole pie. But we end up doing it. So, but that's your flesh. Sit down sometime and have an argument with your flesh. It's really just amazing. You know you done just ate a full meal. Sunday I had my wife was remarking, I don't do it often, but I had an 18-ounce T-bone steak. Talked about that for 2 days. But, and because I know that's not common for a person to do. But you can't do it. But right after I done ate a steak and a potato and some broccoli and I'm full, my body like, I'm hungry. I want some money to eat. Hey, it's a pie in the refrigerator. Go get a piece of that pie. And now, later on, when I do get a piece of the pie, I cut a little sliver. Self-control. See? It works in every area. Why? Because this is about managing the power that you've been given. You manage it in this area, and God will bless you in another area, like money. All right. I write it, and what does it say? That's all. Get a bigger piece. See? But now this thing, your flesh is no more intelligent than it was when it came out of the womb. It's still a baby level, so you cannot let it rule. And this is where, when you read through the Bible, you will constantly see, when you talked about it in Galatians 5:16, talk about the lust of the flesh. That's Satan attack here. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are his attack areas. And those are the areas you have to defend. God is not going to remove all this stuff away so you can live a happy, peaceful life. He's given you power and authority over it, and it's up to you to use the power and authority that he has given. And I can tell you, yes, when you succeed in that, trust me, but what he's going to expand you, he's going to expand you in areas where he's going to give you more influence in other people's lives. He's going to reveal more of his word to you so that you can share it with other people. And don't think for a long time, and I was the master of the one-man sermon. But Paul was one man. I mean, you think about this now. Don't think because you're not on the pulpit in front of thousands of people that you're not doing something significant for God. Everybody that I know that's significant is just one person doing something with thousands and in some cases millions of people, but they were one person. You don't know what that one seed is going to give birth to, because a seed gives birth to a seed to a seed to another seed to another seed. It may be two generations or two people down the road before the fullness of the seed you planted goes to full manifestation. See, you never know. But take it, but God, the privilege, when you begin to have the revelation of the word, I like that. He really had to work to get at me. He really had to work to get at me because I've been taught and I know, have learned to how to war with him. That's a revelation everyone doesn't have. Once you begin to see it with people, you'll be like, wow, Lord, I thank you. Because I see people that they should be further along. And if they don't, because they don't know what's coming. We are in, I use a phrase on Facebook and I call it, welcome to training day, final exam. We are in final exam. Listen, we're the only generation that have all these tools. I got a computer screen in front of me with two Bible scriptures. I mean, I got cell phone. I got everything at my disposal. I can go online to the church website and pull down messages. I mean, we have things they never had. So we're supposed to be utilizing all that. What are we going to do, give God an excuse, say, I didn't understand that when he gave us teachers and took it and broke it down word for word, letter for letter? No, you got to grasp the reality of what your nature is. Man is a spirit. He has a mind, will, and emotion. He lives in a body. A mind allows you to focus on an objective. A will allows you to apply energy toward achieving that objective. And emotion is an evaluation of the objective, whether it's not of God or not. If you evaluate it from God, that's going to pour energy into it. See, this is what this is all about. This is not just happening. Remember, you're not working to get to heaven. You don't depend on being a good person to get to heaven, because your good and God good, God, I think in Isaiah chapter 64, said your good is equal to filthy rags. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. So, you know, it ain't about that. Your good, my good, is based on Christ. When God see me, he see Christ anointing over me. He see Christ. So, and that's how he bases judge. But he can tell how I respond to situations, whether or not I take serious his word. By what I say, it says what I think about his word, and what I do, what it says about his word. See, when I see racists on TV, and I'm not talking about drag racists, racists, R-A-C-I-S-T, Derek Chauvin. I prayed for Derek Chauvin just like I prayed for Donald Trump. I mean, for me, it's easy. I've been at this a while because I know God has a one-track mind. And that makes sense. This all started because he wants a family. And he what he had to pick from, some of the fruit, you know. See, we see rotten fruit, we want to throw it away. He see rotten fruit, and he want it back, brought back to life. Because bringing rotten fruit to life glorifies God, because can't nobody but God do that. So if you hear that Derek Chauvin got saved years down the road and delivered and now preaching the gospel, believe me, he's going to tell on the devil because he's in darkness. Everybody you see in darkness right now is there because there's not enough Christians praying for them. Paul, even though it doesn't mention in the Bible in Daniel chapter 4, all the people besides Daniel that was praying for Nebuchadnezzar, I know it wasn't just Daniel, because we know about Shadrach, Meshach, and the bad Negro. They together, and they didn't even have it like we have it. We got power level at another level. But in the Daniel chapter 4, you find one of the, you think, we, listen, Nebuchadnezzar was worse than everybody. Take 10 bad people you could think of, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, and I'm not going to speak against what I've been praying against. Anyway, put them together, and you got one Nebuchadnezzar. That dude was evil. I'm telling you, he was so evil. He took the king, Zedekiah, took him. Zedekiah did bring it on himself, but still, he could have just, you know, locked him up, but he didn't. He brought his sons out, cut their heads off right in front of him. Do you know the impact? Think about the psychological impact that it had to see your son's head. You got children. Think about somebody just cutting their heads off right in front of you. And then that didn't stop him. He took a hot poker and burned Zedekiah's eyes out. That was how he spent the rest of his life. All because of, you know, he had issues. All right? And we ain't seen no one do that at that level. And yet, God say, pray for your enemies. And he ain't going to make you pray for your enemies. He expect you to do that. Because guess what? The Bible makes it clear. And we was in there in Romans chapter 8. We, before we came to Christ, we were the enemies of God. Because we was working against him. See? So, with that, we're going to put you on track to get you to have the temperance. You need the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, go for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to reach out for that. Okay? There's YouTube videos on that, but you really have to. That becomes a personal issue. Because that puts you at a power level that God has put. That's a tool that God has put out there that you can't get nowhere else. You can't go to college and get this. You can't even go to Bible college and get this. That's a faith level issue. You got to believe it and receive it. Believe it and receive it. Speak it. Hear it. You got to act on it. You definitely have to act on it. I've been there many times. That's the key to surviving. You're going to need it for what's coming. They're already seeing that the COVID shot ain't holding up like they thought, because why? You're dealing with a spirit. You're dealing with a spirit. But anyway, let us begin with this simple prayer. This simple prayer is going to eliminate all the sin in your life and put you in the right place with God, give you a right standing with God. That's what righteousness is. God going to exchange that for this simple conversation. Say, Lord God, I believe what I've heard. I believe that we were born in sin, and I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for our sin. And I receive that right now. And I ask, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I thank you, Lord. I believe I receive it, and I am saved, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're backslidden, just say, Father God, based on your word in 1 John 1:9, you said if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I confess it right now in Jesus' name, and I believe I receive my restoration totally and complete, and I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Well, go over these, because I go over these. I watch these 3 times because things come up that I wasn't even planning on saying. I didn't have Romans chapter 8 and 7 in my notes, but that came from heaven. And so I will rewatch it in the editing process, and I'll be impressed with what God does. I'm going to tell you, not because it's me, it's him. And just remember this, prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
Now your presence is my treasure, never ending peace. And they can't keep me from your love, cause it'll never cease. So I pray you keep me, cause I can't keep myself. Protect me from my sin, I know I'm bad for my health. And I'm dying to know you wake me up and let me read. Drink your words with they cut me, this is what I bleed. Give me a double feature, give me a triple portion. I'm coming back for second, third, fourth, more, more. Savior's worthy. Apart from him, I'm zip, zero, zilch, not a nothing. No point in acting like I'm somebody to prove something. Open my understanding when I read the scriptures. Instill your word inside a dark and wretched, lonely sinner. Make me acquainted with your covenants and perfect plans. Humble me by showing me the world is in your hands. Lead me in the truth, wisdom, revelation. Apply your blood to my dirty soul for salvation. And help me believe. Your ways, I'm in need of your grace.
All I know is I